All right, so we start our third hour, our final hour. Coming up next, Sam Amick. Bottom of the hour, Alvin's legendary week that was. And this hour starts with an email which reads, Rome, if you give Beaks a golden ticket, he might actually try and find a chocolate factory to use it. Unless he eats the ticket first. I thought he made a great point. You can't keep that guy down. Fat floats. He said so. All right, listen, the third hour is a fun hour. It's wide open. Other than the business I have with Sam Amick next segment, I would encourage you to try get in here. 1-800-636-8686. I do want to talk some hockey if possible. Game sevens. Also, what about game six in Houston tonight? Rockets, Golden State. Is that Golden State offense going to actually move more freely, more smoothly? Will Steph Curry get to do what Steph Curry used to do before Kevin Durant showed up? Listen, I, for one, I'm going to say that that's different, but you cannot tell me they're a better team without Kevin Durant. And to me, it's just absurd. Yeah, the offense is different. The ball is going to move some more. But again, with Kevin Durant, what you have is a guy that can get a shot against anybody at any time, anywhere on the floor. Without that guy, you don't have that.
I'm Kevin Durant.
They did win. He is Kevin Durant. They won a championship without Kevin Durant. They can win another championship without Kevin Durant. But you can't tell me they're a better team without Kevin Durant. He's not going tonight. He probably will not go the rest of the series. In fact, obviously, he's not going to play in the series because he's going to get reevaluated next week. I know. I suffered a similar injury a couple of weeks back. The stakes were not quite as high. It was me in my backyard for my 14-year-old's birthday after a couple of beers throwing a football around. I went up to catch a ball. My vert was about 4 inches, and then I came down. And I did not come down the wrong way. I literally came down like him. I took a step or two to get the football, and then I walked right back into the house, and that was it for a week and a half. And by the way, that's on that kid who didn't put it between my numbers. You know you're playing with an old man, Junior. What do you say you throw that ball and hit me between the numbers, and then I don't have to go up to try to erase your mistake? Way to put me in a bad spot, kid, whoever you were. Put it this way, it was bad enough that I went in for an MRI. Check that. I did not get an MRI. I got x-rays, though. I went in for x-rays, and the doctor said, you know what? It's all right. You know, you're looking at a strain. I'm like, what, grade one, grade two? Grade two? He's like, yeah. Here's what you do, Rome. Just lay out. Take it easy for about a week, week and a half. Here's some anti-inflammatories. If it still hurts, we'll do the MRI. So literally, I feel like I got what he got. And for the better part of a week and a half, I did nothing. So if I'm... And aren't these things exactly the same? Kevin Durant getting hurt during an NBA playoff game and me having a couple of beers in my backyard and leaping 2 inches off the ground and coming up lame? Is that not one of the exact same thing? Am I not qualified to speak of his injury? I don't want these anonymous orthopedic surgeons talking about how long he can be out, man. I'm living that life. I'm in that life. I know. I was in my backyard where I jumped 1 inch off the ground. You couldn't have got a piece of paper underneath that vert. That hurt, though, man. That was not right. And yeah, I looked around, just like Kevin Durant looked around. I looked around like, who just kicked me? Who just took a shovel to my tendon? Anyway, they can still beat Houston without this guy. They can still win the whole thing without this guy. But I will say, without the guy, it's wide open right now. I saw some speculation that with a grade one or a grade two sprain, he might be looking at a couple of weeks. And if he's looking at a couple of weeks, that would put him back in the middle of the Western Conference Finals. But then if you come back from an injury like that, are you not running the risk of making it worse? This guy does have his free agency coming up this summer. He's got the rest of his career ahead of him. It's going to be a really interesting situation for him and for them. And how hard do you think the Knicks or any other potential team that might be looking at him was sweating that when they saw him come up lame? Not just Golden State. Your thoughts on any of those topics? Now, a couple of days back, I laid out a handful of storylines heading into Smackoff 25. Smackoff 25, if you did not know, is now 42 days away. It's June 21st. 42 days does not mean 42 shows. Now, I talked about the Canadian bros and their need to show up big on the biggest day of the year in the jungle. I talked about Rick and Buffalo being a big threat, one of the biggest threats to emerge over the past 2 years. I talked about the Wisconsin reps, Caleb and Benny. I talked a little bit about the 2014 champ, Mike in Indy. I still have no idea what he's dealing with or where he is. Today, let me lock in on the two guys who have owned the event for the past 4 years. Brad in Corona, Lef in Laguna. Since 2015, nobody outside these two have worn the crown. BIC had it back in 2015. Lef went back-to-back in 16 and 17. Brad stopped the Pete or the three-peat bid last year when he won his fourth title in 2018.
I got really fed up with Matt and Tyler talking about how good-looking they are and calling all Americans fat because we're not all fat. So I got a custom-made banana hammock with Matt's face right up by my banana and Tyler's face around back near my hammock. Breathe it in, boys. Hey, I love the pictures Matt and Tyler sent in today, by the way. I just want to say for the record that you guys aren't even good looking. Tyler, apparently the rhinoplasty procedure hasn't made its way north of the Canadian border yet, because if it had, you would have already whittled down that massive schnoz of yours into something more manageable. Dude, your face looks like that helmet Brad Pitt wore in the movie Troy. I also enjoyed those pics of your girlfriend from earlier in the week sitting on that motorcycle. Yeah, judging by the way you and your boy Matt like to make your sandwiches, I'm guessing that's probably the only hog she'll be riding anytime soon. By the way, bro, bring that chick down to Southern California. She's a 7.5 at best down here.
BIC. I mean, the back and forth between the BIC and Lef has had kind of like a Cavs-Warriors feel to it. And it spanned the exact same years on the calendar. The only difference is Brad and Lef split the four smack-offs. And as a result, Lef is only one of six guys to ever win multiple times. And the BIC is now one title short of tying the all-time mark at five. A win for Brad this year, especially this year, would cement his legacy as the best to ever do it. Right now, there's still an argument, a fair argument, one that we have in sports all the time. Like you measure everything by rings. The Cablo Nation has got one more ring than the BIC. The Cablo Nation is the only caller ever to string together back-to-back-to-back wins. We may never see a run like that ever again. Hell, in order to get to five this year, Brad has to do something that he's never done before, and that's win two straight. That being said, nobody in Smackoff history has more years between titles, and that's worth something too. Brad's first win was back in 09. His most recent win, nine Smackoff laters in 2018. So his run of dominance at the very highest level is unmatched because of longevity. He's been doing it at the highest level the longest. The storyline for the champ is all about number five, though, because until he gets it, he's going to be looking up at the Cabo Nation. Now, if he gets number five next month, a decade after his first, and he goes back-to-back for the first time ever, and he does that in the Silver Smackoff, then you have to call that his biggest win. Then you have to call that maybe, or him, the GOAT. Now, then you have Lef. Lef might be the guy standing in the way of all of that happening. Lef's bid this year is pretty interesting. If he wins his third, he'll become just the third caller ever with three wins. And he'll move into third place all time, all alone. And he would have done it in only 6 years. But the question with Lef, and always will be, can he win one without bum-rushing me? Can he win one without crashing the studio? Last year, we put a new rule in place. It banned anybody from entering the studio during the smack-off. Many of you would love to say that that's why Lef didn't win. That's not true. Lef didn't win because Brad was just that good. Lef didn't finish runner-up because Stevie Carbone had a great call, which including the resurrection of said Cablo Nation. Shocking and compelling. But it doesn't mean that Lef has no chops or no game or nothing to bring to it unless he can get up in this studio. That third place call was really good. Really good. Good enough to win it in many other years. Good enough, had it been another year, for him to get the all-important three-peat.
Congrats on getting the show on Sirius XM. I mean, how cool is it that Sam Cassell and Willie McGee can now listen to me on extraterrestrial radio? And, Jimmy, how great is it that SmackDown falls in the only week without any pro sports? I mean, who scheduled this thing, Brad and Corona? I mean, dude has less interest in opening the sports section than Shaq Griffin has in opening a pickle jar. I mean, look, I'm not saying that Brad has no sports knowledge, but when you're trying to buy Dodgers tickets on the 50-yard line, it's probably time to put down that Us Weekly.
See what I mean? So as much as Brad would like everybody to believe that Lef, and a lot of you believe this too, it's not just Brad. Lef is more than, quote, a gimmicky little bitch.
Hey, Lef, you're a gimmicky little bitch.
He's got a lot of game. He's more than just a gimmicky little bitch.
You're a gimmicky little bitch.
And everybody knows that whatever he does this year, if it's in line with what he's done in years past, that it's going to be wild. He continues to raise the bar from a helicopter studio buzz to a full-on studio crash to a remake of the SI photo shoot from the mid-90s to a cameo from Larry Brown. Nobody is putting on the show that Lef puts on. That's a fact. So I can't wait to see what he's got in store for June 21st, and I have not heard anything yet. Now, I'm not going to say this is Brad v. Lef, because if it were, I wouldn't have a smack off. I'd have a Brad v. Left off. But I will remind you, these two have been at the top since 2015. Nobody else has broken through in that time besides those two. I fully expect them to be right there again this time as well. Smack off 25. So much on the line. It's coming up fast now. June 21st, 42 days. Let's get this. You're running out of time. If you haven't started to think about it yet, you're already way behind. If you want to get in, you better make that phone call, because it would take one of the greatest calls ever to get in on the strength of one call. It would have to be like Jeff in Southfield, something so crazy, so out there. Otherwise, you need a body of work. You need to stack phone calls, or you're not getting in. Smack off 25, 42 days off. All right, when we come back, Sam Amick, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, joins us. Lots to cover with him. Casper revolutionized the mattress industry 5 years ago, and they're back doing it again. Casper's new hybrid collection combines the pressure relief of their award-winning foam with durable yet gentle springs, so you can sleep in luxurious comfort with resilient support every single night like I do. Plus, the hybrid is durable for all body types and has enhanced edge support. I love the elevated lift support and increased airflow for cooling that I get on my hybrid. Do you have any idea that mattresses have that kind of technology? Casper's do. And like all Casper mattresses, the hybrid ships for free, so you can try it for free, 100 nights, risk-free. If you don't like it, they'll come pick it up and give you a full refund, no questions asked. You want to go to Casper.com, use my code, ROAM. Get $100 towards the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com, code ROAM, and get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Additional shipping fees apply for Hawaii and Alaska. See Casper.com/terms for additional terms and conditions. Offer not valid for the essential. Limit one code per customer. It cannot be combined with any other offer. Casper.com, code Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Business is booming. As an example, this segment sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper Business Phone Solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. I'm efforting a good friend of the program, Sam Amick. Sam Amick is busting his ass to get to tonight's Game 6. He is a senior writer for The Athletic. He is a good friend of the program. He is busting his ass to get to Houston for Game 6 tonight. We are joined by Sam Amick. Sam, what's going on, man? How are you?
Romy, I'm doing great. You're accurate, my friend. I am busting my ass to get to this game. And shout out to friend and colleague Tim McMahon of ESPN is at the wheel. We are barreling down. Is this I-10? I-45.
I love it. I was going to say, Sam, I love that. I was going to say you've got two great stories up on The Athletic, which I will get to in a minute, but you are en route to Game 6 tonight. It has not been an easy trip. At one point yesterday, you were at the Albuquerque airport. So what's been going on? And tell me again where you are right now. How far off are you?
All right, so we're about 3 hours out of Houston. Albuquerque happened because as many years as I've traveled, I made a rookie mistake, and I took a flight from Oakland to Houston that was not nonstop. And by the time we landed in Albuquerque, the weather was so bad in Houston that they shut down the airport. And I'm not alone. There's a lot of media folks who got rerouted through different cities. So I ended up flying into Dallas. Tim happens to be based in Dallas, and so hence we're now driving buddies. But we'll get there. We gotta go see where this series is going to go.
All right, so let's talk about that, too. Sam Amick joining us. In terms of the series itself, the two pieces that you have up right now on The Athletic, for instance, where were you, Sam, when Kevin Durant came up limping with 2:05 left in the third quarter on Wednesday night, and what was your initial reaction to the injury?
So I was on press row at Oracle, which is the top of the lower concourse, you know, so not close enough to really – get a feel for it, but I mean, you know, pretty quickly thereafter, I decided to go down to the hallway and see what it looked like. Now, as you know, and everybody knows from watching it on TV, when Reggie Miller was thinking it was the worst, that it was going to be the Achilles. Whenever, you know, when you see a guy come up lame like that, non-contact, that whole thing where it looks like he got kicked in the back of the leg, that's what everybody's thinking. And then in the hallway down by the Warriors locker room, I mean, kind of like I wrote, there was a lot of panic, at least on the faces of different Warriors power players. I mean, Joe Lacob, the owner, came down there and was trying to figure out what was going on. The GM, Bob Myers, the rest of the Warriors group. It was a very, you know, really tense 16 minutes because nobody knew. And it looked like, for one, the Warriors are trying to hang on in that game and not go down 3-2. And then you've got this backdrop that everybody's aware of, that Kevin and his free agency, and not only that, but was this the last game at Oracle because they're moving to San Francisco next year? So a lot of layers to it, but it was pretty dramatic.
We're talking to Sam Amick. So you worked your way down there, and as you mentioned, you saw some of the biggest people in the organization. GM Bob Myers was there, the legendary Raymond Ritter, a couple of players, Joe Lacob. 9:31 p.m. Pacific, Lacob returns to his seats. Myers left shortly thereafter, as did the players. So, Sam, at that point, what did you think was going to be the news?
I was waiting for the verdict that it was the Achilles. I mean, that's where my head was at, because even – so one of the guys I wrote about, a guy named Chuck Terrell, is a Nike marketing pro basketball rep, and Kevin's, you know, kind of right-hand guy in the shoe industry for years. And I mean, you know, I was talking to Chuck in the hallway – And it was not encouraging. There was no information at that point, but the mood was down, and the mood was bracing for the worst. So I definitely thought that we were going to be talking about him, you know, having what is one of the worst injuries in pro sports.
We're talking to Sam Amick. So that was the fear. And then at 9:35 p.m., the team announces it's a calf strain. What was the reaction to that news?
Relief. And then, like, you know, from all involved on the Warriors side, and then certainly – you know, then kind of the pursuit of clarity happens, meaning, you know, calf strain is such a general term that, you know, we had to wait until the next day to get a better read on the timeline. And it's funny now because on the one hand, like the way I wrote it, you get the sense that there's that relief and they dodged a bullet. I mean, they obviously didn't completely dodge a bullet. For the purposes of this series, the outcome is the same as it relates to Kevin. He's not going to be part of this series. And I wouldn't be shocked. There's no guarantee that he's going to be available if they win, I think, in game one or game two of the conference finals. This is the type of injury that, you know, can take 7 days, can take weeks. You know, grade two would have been much worse. It appears to be a grade one. But, you know, they're not out of the woods just yet. But, again, independent of everything, I think you've got to be happy for Kevin first and foremost, because that is potentially a career-altering injury. It's so hard for guys to come back from the Achilles.
We're talking to Sam Amick. You know, Sam, when you look at the way they reacted, I mean, it's got to be really jarring to see your brother and your best player arguably go down the way he did, especially right in the middle of something like that. But then they step up, notably Steph Curry, who had 16 after Durant left the game, and they grind that thing out. However, it's one thing to survive 14 minutes without Kevin Durant. How do you think they deal with 48 minutes tonight without him, especially from a depth standpoint?
I feel like they're going to be in trouble tonight, and we'll see how it pans out. But, I mean, the combination of Houston being on its own floor, knowing that they absolutely blew a golden opportunity in those final 14 minutes to take advantage of the injury to Kevin. And I think for the Warriors, what's going to be challenging and probably just enough to send this thing back to a game seven is that it's just not easy in real time to figure out, you know, the new rhythm of your operation without somebody, you know, whose game is as incredible as Kevin's is. You know, Steve Kerr has got arguably the thinnest bench remaining in the playoffs. That's probably not even, you know, a debate whatsoever. And he's got to figure out his new rotations. Can I trust Andrew Bogut? Can I trust Sean Livingston? You know, is Alphonso McKinney going to give me anything? What am I going to do beyond my core three now? And, you know, that's where it gets tough, because the Rockets play well in that building. James Harden has got to know that it's time for him to redeem himself, because that was not a great look at all in the fourth quarter with, you know, his lack of aggression. So if we're handicapping this thing, I think it probably ends up going seven.
Sam Amick writes for The Athletic. He is en route to Houston right now. Sam, before you go, the thing about the Warriors is it's not just about tonight. Of course, it's about a really critical summer for them. You have a second great piece up where they are as a locker room and the futures of some of the players that are involved. How did Curry describe the vibe in the locker room and among the players right now compared to how it's been at points during the season?
So he called it great. You know, Kevon Looney, who I also spoke to for the piece, and I'm always a sucker for the role players who pay attention to this type of stuff. He's been there since 2015, and Kevon said right now that the locker room was as good as it's been all season. And I just think it's a little bit of an under-talked-about part of their story right now, because back in November when they went sideways in that Clippers game and Kevin and Draymond were yelling at each other and it was so negative, we always thought that when we reached April and May that maybe they would fracture, maybe they wouldn't be getting along, maybe they would just basically decide that, you know, if Kevin is kind of heading for the exits anyway, then what are we fighting for? And it has not been the case. I mean, for them to show the kind of resolve that it took to pull that game five off speaks well to where they are as a group. And Steph made it really clear that they're in a very good place. And he talked about how they're blocking out all the BS and all the headlines, you know, because now they know what's on the line. I mean, you know, three-peat opportunities are in short supply, and they know the history of the game, and they know what's at stake, and they're trying to not let that get away.
We're talking to Sam Amick for a few more moments. So, Sam, based on what you reported on, do you get the sense that the chance of Durant staying with Golden State may have actually increased recently? Is that the way you see that?
It is, yeah. I mean, I say that hesitantly because it's so hard to – we've been taking a pulse on this thing all the way through the year, right? And I mean, in the one sense, Jim, we've had people all year long telling us that it's unofficially a wrap, that Kevin's going to New York, and so you definitely thought that was the case. But then, you know, we're only as good as what we're being told, right? And right now, I mean, I'm comfortable saying that there are definitely some people with the Warriors who just at least have a little bit of an uptick in their optimism that maybe he would think twice about leaving. And the root of that is the way they're getting along. It's even the idea that the fans, I do truly think that players in general care, you know, how the fans see them and how much love they get from the fans. And the Warrior fans, ironically, now have been down on Steph lately because he's been struggling. And in the end, maybe that ends up helping their cause when it comes to hold on to Kevin, because he's been getting love. People have appreciated his game in the Bay. They know what he's done for them. And I think they're starting to sense that if this dude leaves, this team is not going to be, you know, in nearly as good a spot as they were the last couple of years.
So one final thought on that same topic. You know, when you look at LeBron, he leaves the Cavs for the Lakers and the organization promptly implodes. Kyrie fights his way out of Cleveland, and his time in Boston has been a borderline disaster. Do you think there's any way that Durant would look at those two situations and think to himself, you know what, I've got a really good thing going here. I'm not going to change that up. It may not be worth it.
No, it's a great point, and it's funny, like a quick backdrop to that point, Jim. This column that you're talking about, the angle you just highlighted was my initial thought. I was going to go deep down that road, but I can't read Kevin's mind. So I don't know if that will impact his decision. I would, you know, if I was one of his advisors, I would definitely say that's a great idea to analyze and examine those other situations, because LeBron and Kyrie both, it's a little bit of a be careful what you wish for, grass is not always greener, whatever cliche you want to go with. It has not panned out like they wanted. Lakerland is an absolute dumpster fire right now, and Boston is not much better, and Kyrie is taking a ton of flack. So this is, I say it all the time, it's a five-man game, even more than that. I mean, it takes 10, 12 guys. It's a team game. And if you don't have the right group around you, not only on the roster, but the GM, the owner, the culture, the environment, all of those things, then, you know, you're going to put yourself in a tough position as a star.
He is a senior writer for The Athletic and has mentioned two really, really good pieces up on The Athletic right now. Good friend of the program. He is en route to tonight's Game 6 in Houston. Sam Amick, my guest. Sam, way to play through it. Nice job. Great to have you back, and I always appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks, Romy.
Great job. Sam, as always, one of the best. Sam Amick. I like that point at the very end that it's impossible to read Kevin Durant's mind, but there may be a sense that the likelihood of him staying may have increased of late. Maybe. What's going to happen in Game 6? That's a tough challenge for Golden State. Go into Houston. You know, James Harden is going to come out extremely aggressively, given how he ended Game 5. They're back home. They know they missed an opportunity. Obviously, it's an elimination game. There's still blood in the water because Durant's not there. It's a tough, tough task for Golden State tonight. When we come back, Alvin's legendary week that was. On top of that, maybe some hockey. I can't get through the entire last day of the week without the NHL. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals went down last night. We're on to the Final Four in hockey. I may try to get that to you too. Stay tuned. Here is a sports update. Shout out to my man, Sam Amick. Appreciate him coming in when he's having a nightmare travel situation and trying to bust ass to get to that game and showing up like a boss and doing a great interview. Appreciate you, Sam. I've got the ATP on a Friday. Ask the Pros, where you submit your question to me. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I got so caught up today and was so fired up on Friday, the game sevens, the action last night, all that this represents, that I forgot to do the thing that I start every Friday with. No, not the deck of yeah, but an acknowledgement that the guy with the biggest head in the world was working in studio. The flight deck! James Kelly,
Omaha.
Legend. Friday rules because Friday's Friday, although I don't really subscribe to that whole thing. Like, yo, man, how you doing? Oh, it's Friday. Right. Tomorrow's Saturday. Yesterday was Thursday. I'm not about that life. That's a tough way to go through life. But Friday does represent the one day of the week where James Kelly works in studio. We're always hyped. Flight deck. Sorry about that, bro. You know I start this show every Friday by acknowledging you in your head.
Ballistic.
My bad. I'll make up for it now. Scott in San Diego asks, Jim, now that you're suffering through the same injury as Kevin Durant, do you feel more or less sympathy for Adam Hawk and his back injury? Yes, I do. I do. I got to be honest. I got into Hawk pretty hard. And by the way, Hawk, did you make that up and say that's from Scott in San Diego? Is that you? I got into Hawk because Hawk threw his back out trying to slip on a pair of golf shoes. Really idiotic. Well, I blew out my calf going up in the air to catch a football in the backyard. So, yes, either that or I hate myself as much as I hated you when that happened. Bad look. Me and the technician, me and the guy who did my x-rays, we're just kind of going back and forth like, man, getting old sucks, right? Dude, the pain. And really, I'm having trouble walking on this thing. The pain, the physical pain, is not nearly as bad as the psychic pain, the embarrassment. The embarrassment hurts way more than the injury itself.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Ice. Now, to be fair, my wife did not tell me, under no circumstances, are you to play football in the backyard. In fact, everybody was hyped. Look at the old man. Look at Van Smack. throwing the ball around. And I just turned around and walked back into the house during my kid's birthday party and threw a few beers on it and never came back downstairs. That's how I handled that injury. Except Hawk's wife did tell him, do not play golf. Do not play golf. Do not. Don't you go out there. Janet did not say, don't you play football. Don't you hang out with your kids at their birthday party. Imagine 17 teenagers in my backyard. Of course I beered up for that. Like I was going to do that without having one or two in me. I wonder if that contributed to it. Any orthopedic types want to weigh in before the end of the program? You got 5 minutes. Is it possible? And no, don't you idiots come in here with, didn't you warm up? Who's going to warm up to throw a football? No, I did not warm up. I didn't stretch. However, if I went hardcore cardio earlier in the day and I had an IPA, is it possible that I was dehydrated? And when I went up, I wasn't loose. Yeah, whatever it is, it's as embarrassing as hell. I can tell you that. But to answer your question, Scott in San Diego, yes. Yes, I've got more empathy for Hawk now. Alvin, are you ready? Roll that bad boy.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had an amazing weekend. It is great to have you here. Great to be here. Lots to get done. Let's not waste any time. All right, so I had Friday off. I was in Wisconsin.
Freaking Madison, Wisconsin!
Do you remember when Omaha Beach had to be scratched from the Kentucky Derby? And it felt like maybe some of the buzz had gone from the Derby. Yet, neither do I, because that was the craziest Derby ever.
Yeah! Maximum security!
Amazing. Except that was not the finish.
They did. So for the first time,
the stewards got that call right. If that happens on any other track, on any other day, it takes 2 minutes to decide. It's easy. That's a foul.
That's a foul!
Tim Layden is my guest.
People are going to be talking about this now for long after we're all gone, and not necessarily for all the right reasons, but that doesn't change the fact that the right thing was done.
Let's go to Matt in Portland.
I was just wondering if you think I should call my bookie and try and get my money back, because he told me to bet on Sarah Jessica Parker and Nancy Kerrigan, but those horses weren't in the race.
Take the rest of the day off, loser. As I mentioned, we were having a really responsible,
it doesn't make any sense,
mature discussion about thoroughbred racing. Until then.
Three in the air. Good! Kawhi Leonard!
Weirdo! You're a weird guy. He's just taking everything Toronto that the Sixers throw at him and dishing it right back even colder. Ryan Hollins.
What the heck is going on, brother? How have you been?
Man, so good.
Jim, I've always been honest with you. I don't hold any punches. When you play in the NBA and in the playoffs, you have to assume in your mind before the game happens that you're screwed.
Imagine you step down. I'm like, man, get the
and now the face of the franchise is out here burying ex-employees and franchise legends on HBO a month later. 1 year down, three to go, can't wait for next season. Car flags up.
I had an incredible story on Saturday that I've shared with many of my friends and family, and my sister said, you have to call Rome, and you have to share this with everybody else.
I don't think you'll see another 8 for 22.
Guy was right. We didn't see another 8 for 22. That would have been an improvement.
Yeah, I should have shot 30.
Let that be a warning to every team looking at maxing out Kyrie this summer. Suns GM James Jones is my guest. What it's like to work with Robert Sarver.
They're not accurate. Like all things, play the game of telephone. You hear one thing, it becomes something else.
Dana White is my guest.
Conor McGregor's doing really well financially, and when you start doing really well financially, it definitely interferes with your fighting career.
Tigger Phelps calling in on the call-in line.
I control my life now. No one's controlling me. So I have the freedom to choose, and I chose to watch you, and boy, what a gift this was today.
I know I gotta do a better job.
Yes, Joel Embiid is a problem. But not as big as the rest of the guys that he's running with that are not picking him up. Hey, Jimmy, what's up, the big fella?
I'm not a f***ing doctor. I don't know.
Stupid f***ing doctor.
Ty Insege is my guest.
The kiss came when I got released from the Redskins.
What was that like?
I don't really want to talk down on an organization that gave me the opportunity. It was good for what it was worth.
If hearing Ty's story doesn't make you want to run through a wall, then I'm going to throw you out a window. AJ Hinch. Last week, you passed Art Howe for third place in the organization's all-time win list.
Passing a name that was recognizable for me and also very special to me as the first guy that pulled me in the office and said, hey, man, you're a big leaguer. You can imagine how cool that was for me.
Max Homa joining us.
Then I texted my coach that I think I'm going to throw up. He said, well, I'm having a beer, so you do you and I'll do me.
You know, if I wanted to be a fat, wrinkly, postmenopausal female, I'd rather be Caleb in Green Bay.
Our guys are giants.
Do the Splash Brothers. Get back to being the Splash Brothers.
brother.
Is Kevin Durant really holding them back? You want the answer? I won't, because I can't, and nobody else can either. There is no bottom line.
Bobby Ramos, bottom line.
Rip Hamilton is my guest.
Rome, always happy to be back on your show, brother.
So quit asking.
Robert thinks the War Eagle is badass. Wait till they come to your house and look up at a freaking dragon patrolling the Alabama skies.
Oh, I love it.
Email.
Father, why are you supporting a take that I was just going to ban a guy from the history of the show for sending?
For life.
I don't know, clones. I'll just say it one more time. There are a few ways I don't want to go. I don't want to be eaten alive by a shark. I don't want to burn to death.
Burning.
I really don't want to die in a plane crash.
Now Kevin Durant's hurt.
And then I did exactly what he did. I'm looking around the backyard. I took a couple of steps. Oh! Somebody just kicked me in the calf.
Tell me how much sass.
Bud Black.
And hopefully down the line somewhere this year, you'll want to talk about Rocky Baseball one more time.
You know it, bud.
Jim, if Beaks was in the rock band Led Zeppelin, their hit song Stairway to Heaven would be titled Stairway to Difficult.
Sure. I mean, does this dude live in Arkansas or Darfur?
You are a bust card, Jeff.
You can't keep Aqua Beach down because fat floats, you idiot.
Bro, it was a good call. It would be even a better call if you weren't trying to eat your phone. Terry Stotts, those logo threes.
Those are big momentum shots. Particularly in the playoffs, momentum is really important.
The Laker clown show.
Two water Gatorade.
Big breasts in studio spaghetti.
We're about to go up his ass.
We didn't do
This is a real dream for me. Pretty surreal.
You're welcome.
You little creep.
Resort chic.
Anti-culture.
Bob Baffert acts more like a horse's ass.
Jim, you've always been one of my favorites.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Good night now!
Alvy's legendary week that was. We've been hyping up Smackoff 25, the silver anniversary of the Smackoff. Here is the champ from 2016 and 2017. He went back-to-back. Left in Laguna Beach. Left, brother. What's going on? How are you?
Not much, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good, bud. Good to hear your voice.
Listen, brother, June 21st, I'm going to be there. I also noticed it's National Bring Your Dog to Work Day. So, Tyler and Edmonton, don't forget to roll down the window for your girlfriend on your way to work. But, Jimmy, I got a question real quick about Brad's photo from last year. How does this guy have a 5 million megawatt power line running through his backyard, yet rocks a AAA battery in those bikini bottoms? Romy, the only power lines associated with Smackoff 25 will be the lines I'm delivering. Meanwhile, Brad Smackoff 25 is going to go just like his name is spelled, with a big D at the end.
All right, Leff in Laguna. That's an RSVP. Leff is in. The two-time champ is in. All right, Leff, see you on the 21st. I'm glad you made that call. Where's Mikey in Indy? Is he coming or not? I know Brad will be there. Let's quickly go to Pismo Beach. That's a cool place. Ryan in Pismo Beach. Ryan, how are you? What's up?
Hey, Romy, so good to hear you, man. Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to the show and also to Mother's Day. Stephanie Elizabeth Valier, my mom, passed away 3 years ago, stage 4 cancer. And, man, those are warriors, man, those people that fight cancer, man, and the families that go along with them. And I listen to your program every morning on my way to surf, and it's just been a joy to just laugh through some of the pain, you know, of losing your mom. So just want to give a shout-out to any of those people that are listening. If you got a good mom, man, make her feel the love on Mother's Day, you know, because life is short. And so just thanks for the show. Thanks for the laugh. Sometimes it's even so good that there'll be good waves out and I'll still be sitting in the car listening to the radio, cracking up, listening to you, just doing your thing. So I just love the show. And just want to give a quick shout out to just all the little people that are killing it in sports right now. My grandpa was friends with Mickey Mantle, and he got offered a job with the Yankees back in the day, but took a job as a basketball coach on Coronado Island in San Diego, moved our family out here. And the grandpa used to say, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And, man, just watching sports lately, Curry, Messi, Murray getting drafted, Altuve, all these little people that are just killing it, gives hope for people that maybe are a little undersized, underprivileged. So love the show, Rome. Thanks very much. Happy Mother's Day to all those good moms out there. Take care.
Good job, bro. Good job, Ryan. Rock that call. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you very much. And I appreciate those thoughts. Remote controls. Are they taking over your living room? Then get Control Center by Cavo, the one universal remote that manages all of your content. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center starter pack bundle with a one-year service plan with the promo code ROME at CAAVO.com. CAAVO.com. Cavo.com. My thanks to some good friends of the program. Buddy Black, Rockies manager. Terry Stotts, head coach of the Blazers. Sam Amick, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. The XR4TI crew. The big head. The flight deck. James Kelly. And the rest of y'all. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you right back here on Monday. We're out.